I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Hello and welcome to episode 91 of Palco, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, Steve, Jordan, Mike, Jeremy. As always, Peacock Core Michael, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Sometimes I wish it would stop. Today is the 91st day of summer, and boy is it a hot one. Holy crap. This means it is the day that the GCRN gets back to our Phineas and Ferb review show for 2021. So, Michael, are you ready to jump on the roller coaster of a ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym?
Let's light this candle.
As of this recording, we have 13 days left of the podcast.
Wardrobe is jinxed.
Jinxed?
Uh-huh. I was wearing this one when the boys made the giant gelatin monster. I was wearing this one when the boys split me into, like, 50 me's. This one is from the whole me thing. And this one... Well, I just spilled grape juice on it.
Begin analysis. Routine.
Ooh, ship bus number 12.
Sniffing.
I guess I can wear this tonight.
Long neck. Non-desert dweller. Not chupacabra.
Wait, somebody's judging me. You are so busted for something!
First up is La Candice Cabra. Oh, Lord. The boys set out to prove the existence of the elusive Chupacabra to the world, but Candice can't stand the wait and first just needs to prove it to Mom. Meanwhile, Doofenshmirtz has the brilliant idea to use his switch placinator to remove hair from one person and give it to another. Man, talk about a hair club for men. So that he can in turn sell his hair-growing tonic. Oh, man.
Yeah, he could use that with, like, limbs.
Yeah.
If you switch somebody's heads from different bodies?
Invasion of the Ferb Snatchers, anybody?
Something like that.
Anyway. So...
yeah.
This episode
starts off with cross-dressing?
No, well, probably. I don't know. The U.S. premiere was July 12th, 2013 on Disney Channel, August 3rd, 2013 on XD.
Sure.
That was a number of years after Dr. Draken's cranium rinse. So at some point, most likely not with Michael, but maybe, I don't know. At some point, I want to do a Kim Possible podcast because I love that show, and John DiMaggio is the voice of Dr. Draken. Okay. And there's this thing where as Dr. Draken, he sings, and I'll have to send this to you after this podcast, Dr. D's cranium rinse. You know, shampoo and cranium rinse. It's called Lather, Rinse, Obey. Because it's supposed to be it's supposed to be mind control shampoo.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I can think of with this whole hair club for men hair tonic thing that Doof has. Is I'm like, really, Doof? You're really trying to copy Dr. Draken from Kim Possible? Now, I'm fairly certain Dan and Swampy and whomever worked on this one did not intentionally do this, and I'm just drawing, you know, conclusions.
You're reaching here. Pretty far there for
no,
the,
not really.
For that illusion, like the our friends, the Wiki people, reaching so far.
Hey, we like them.
Lather, rinse, and obey. It's time to wash our hair today. You may think I'm a villain, you know I'm just chilling. Come on, let me hear you say. Lather, rinse, and obey. I'm a player just playing his play. My product's in a rap song, time to get your wash on. With Dr. D's brainwashing shampoo and cranium rinse.
For sheezy, it's off the hazy.
Oh, damn. They don't even have the Kim Possible. Oh, yeah, man. I gotta talk to Ryan, man.
They didn't reach far enough, apparently.
Apparently not. What did you like about Candice Cabra?
I like animal sensitivity training.
That the animals don't need.
Yeah, the animals don't need it. They're already animals. But if you're a human, then you need to learn to be more sensitive. I mean, it's not cool to be a speciesist. You have to understand there are other species and we all have to get along, you know. Next, yeah. They'll be telling us that you can judge a species' intelligence by measuring their skulls.
Well, I mean, it worked for the Dinobots.
Very small skulls? Misshapen skulls with lumps on the back or something? I'm not sure what you're getting at.
Yes. Well, I've been watching a lot of Transformers stuff lately, and I've been watching a lot of Dinobot episodes, so...
Ah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Dinobot's new brain.
No, that's season 3. No, I'm talking about season 2, when they were created on Earth.
Ah, yes.
So, yes.
All right, man. That took a weird turn.
Yes, it did.
I was going for a speciesist joke, but that's cool. I don't have a problem with back hair, but that doesn't necessarily mean I need a product called Get Back Hair.
Yeah, no.
That was funny. This is like when Chevy tried to market a car in Mexico called the Nova.
Oh, boy.
You don't speak Spanish?
No.
I said Mexican. Y'all don't speak Mexican, do ya?
Oh, boy.
Speak Spanish. So in Spanish, Nova literally means doesn't go. Nova. Yeah. So they tried to sell a car in Mexico that's literally called doesn't go.
And of course, the first thing when you say it like that, Nova, the first thing I think of is Johnny Five. Johnny Five is alive in Short Circuit because the company was Nova Robotics.
Cyberdyne. Cyberdyne and Nova bringing their newest creation to you.
Hey, Johnny Five was a good robot. It was the 1 through 4 bots that were evil.
Yeah, they were. They were bad.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The guy who does the voice for Major Monogram.
That would be Swampy.
I'm talking about. Yeah. Sang the Chupacabra song.
That's right. He did. Yes.
Yeah, I found that surprising. I don't normally hear him sing, so it was kind of cool.
You hear him sing all the time.
Maybe I just don't notice it so much.
He sat there and did the whole little old man puppet show. This old man.
No. I don't. That was awful. I don't mean singing as Monogram. I mean like singing, because this wasn't Monogram singing a song. Okay. This was him just singing. He wasn't doing the Monogram voice. He was doing his own voice, It sounded enough like Monogram where it was like, that's the guy that does the Monogram. But, you know, he was just singing.
I got to take a point off of this episode.
Why?
There is no evil jingle.
Oh, wow. I did not notice that.
There is no Too Young line. There is no Perry's entrance. None. He was already in the ALCA Animal Sensitivity Seminar. So there isn't. Wow, they're really bucking the trends over here.
I honestly feel like they trimmed a lot out of this episode to deliver all the goodness into the next episode.
Happy birthday, Isabella, really?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot. It's much better than this one.
Okay, then. Well, we know what your rating's going to be.
Well, the only thing that I liked about this episode was when Candace finds the box with a monster inside.
And she sits on it, and then it becomes Buford.
No, well, yeah, it does. But I don't know if you've ever seen Creepshow from 1982.
No, I have not.
Oh my God! All right,
we've covered this. I'm not a horror person.
All right. Creepshow's honestly, I had my kids watch it. They loved it.
That's because they're your kids and you love this stuff. I'm not your child. I'm only X number of years younger than you.
The Creepshow movie is a an anthology, right, that is based on the Creepshow comic book, which was literally directed toward children.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, you could watch it and, you know, not lose any sleep. I think you'd be fine. Anyway, so there's this thing where it's a museum, and they find a crate under a staircase, and the crate has been under the staircase for like 40 years, and they're like, well, I wonder what's in there, you know? And it turns out that there's a monster in the box.
That's funny.
But it reminded me a lot of this.
Yeah. Except that monster in the box turns into some kid in a goat costume.
Yeah, due to the Switchinator.
Yep.
The Switchinator, yeah. So just as Candace is about to murder her mother with a chupacabra.
Yeah.
Because, again, everybody dies in Creepshow because they open the box.
Yep.
So she's about to murder her mother, and it turns out that the Chupacabra is not actually evil. He's Agent ZH.
Yes.
Got a fedora.
He's a platypus with a fedora.
It's just...
some weird-looking building. Hey, you know that guy? Sorry. I've got Delivery of Destiny in my head now.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
Your favorite dude there, Christian Slater, Delivery of Destiny, Paul, the delivery guy.
Oh, that one. Oh,
yes, geez. That one. Anyway.
Yeah, you were just like singing about what was currently happening.
That's right. I'm not one for, like, this isn't a bad episode, but the best part for it for me is the doof stuff. That was funny. I like that. Doobie doobie.
The platypus. You like the new biplane? Pretty sweet, huh? I got it off the internet. Don't worry about your hat. The heat is really good for the felt. Look what I invented. It grows your hair back. I got it in all the stores, but it's not selling as well as I thought it would. I don't know why. It's even got a catchy name. Get back hair.
Get back hair.
It should be flying off the shelves. I just don't get it. Anyway, that is about to change. Behold, the Switch Placinator!
The whole Chupacabra and Newton the New and all these mythical creature things. I'm like, not my thing.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Mm. I couldn't get my head around it. Aside from the Creepshow reference, I wasn't a fan. I gave it a 2.
I gave it a 3 just because it was Doof trying to do a hair anator thing, and it moved more than, like, the whole point was get back hair. It was supposed to only transport hair, not people, not chupacabras into Buford's.
Whatever. I don't even know what they were going for here. They didn't mention Chupacabra Prime at all.
Nope, they didn't.
They are not ready for that. It's just too far in the future for them.
Yes, yes, it is.
Harry, what is all this? A host family? Mind erasing? Balloon cover-up? I mean, is all this really necessary? Wait a minute. It says right here in your silly little pamphlet that if your host family finds out about your agent status, then everyone who's seen you has to have their memory erased, or you'll get relocated. Harry! I'm not part of your host family. I know, it's a technicality. Look, I don't want Candace and the boys to lose you, but I also do not want my mind erased. I'm on the last 10 minutes of that grievance movie, and I don't want to watch that whole scary mess again. So, can we just keep this a secret?
Alrighty then, it is time for Happy Birthday, Isabella. It's Illabella. Wow. Illabella. God, I can't even talk.
Illabella.
It's Isabella's birthday, and Phineas and the gang celebrate it in a big way, complete with a giant cake and piñatas. To Isabella, however, all she really wants to be is alone with Phineas. But she keeps missing by a second. Missed it by that much. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz installs his Bugsmeanator onto an evil bug bus and drives around Danville, turning all the things that bug him literally into bugs. And Stacy unwittingly sees and even finds out Perry's secret. That Perry is a secret agent.
Yeah. Is that copy and pasted directly from the wikis? Yes. Something we should complain to them about.
Whatever. Yes,
it looks like your plot description was translated into Chinese and then translated back.
Well, that's the way it reads on the wikis, so... I mean, technically, if I had read the sentence right, it would sound right. And Stacy unwittingly sees this and even finds out Perry's agent secret.
Agent
secret. So the fact that he's an agent is the secret from the boys.
As opposed to saying Perry is a secret agent.
Right. Yeah, so technically, it's not wrong grammatically. It's just I read it wrong and I fucked it up.
So like agent as an adjective, which I don't think is valid.
You can take it up with them. I don't care.
Honestly, I think we should be official editors. We should just go in there and...
No, I spend too much time editing podcasts. I am not editing Wikipedia pages.
Go so. In there and just cross out huge chunks of it with an angry red pen. This does not make sense. I can't read this. This is grammatically incorrect. This is reaching way too far.
So, this is... In this episode, they constantly talk about the grieving or the conjuring or
the grievance. Whatever
the grievance.
You don't like scary movies. This is going to go way over your head.
Oh, no, I got it. I've seen trailers. I understood what it was, and that's fine. I like that Stacy was the one that it happened to instead of Candace. I thought that was really cool. That's what I like about this episode is that it's a Stacy-centric episode for the most part because... She's, you know, everything's happening over at Isabella's, and I guess her house is right in, I don't know where her Stacy's house is compared to Isabella's and Phineas and Ferb's and whatever. Yeah. But, you know, Stacy is right there in the neighborhood kind of thing, and that's cool. I think that's great.
Right. No, I any chance to, you know, hear Kelly Hugh is welcomed. She was Miss Teen USA in 1985, you know.
Oh, she was she?
The first Asian American to receive such a title.
Awesome.
Thank you, Wiki.
Now who's reading from the Wiki?
Well, you know, I just wanted to see a picture of her because she's so darn pretty.
Yep. So, yeah.
Anyway.
This episode, I like it. But I like it for everything that it isn't really about. Like, I like it for the Doof stuff. I like it for the Stacy finding out. I like it for all the Perry stuff. All the birthday stuff. Phineas just isn't listening to her. Like, he's being a typical guy and not listening. And,
He's this is one of those times where the addiction is more important than the relationships that you find along the way, because he is, you know, we already know he Joneses if he's not inventing something.
Yep.
And here he is, he's like in full bore, I'm inventing stuff mode, and just can't be bothered with anything else.
Nope. Yep. There is no, I know what we're going to do today, there is no too young.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, I mean, they're not too young to put on a birthday party for a friend. I mean,
I felt like the birthday party stuff was kind of clipped a little bit, like even to the point where they didn't even show the grand finale.
Yeah, well, they did. It turned into butterflies, and that made her swoon. Well, so
yeah, they described it a little bit. They described what it was supposed to be like, but it didn't actually appear because it turned into bugs.
Oh man, there's
pretty
no
bugs.
Yeah, butterflies.
Butterflies.
There's no evil jingle. There's no Perry entrance lair. Major Monogram gets, oh, there you are, Perry, because Agent P? Because they have the stupid motion detector lights in the lair now, and I'm like, really? That seriously? So you have to give jazz hands to turn the lights on? Oh, my God.
I had one in my backyard. I did not realize that you had to turn off the light and turn it on real quick in order to make it static. So I spent like an entire evening waving at my garage. I just wanted to sit on the porch and have a beer, and I ended up greeting the garage for an hour. Hello, Garage.
Hi, Garage. Nice to meet you.
Oh, Garage. Oh, Garage, it's dark again. Hello, there you are. It was so annoying. I hate those things.
Unless they're timed just right, and unless they're on long enough just right,
yeah,
they suck.
Well, if unless I'm in my backyard doing the running man.
Yeah.
You know, then for as long as I need light, they're no fun. It's not, having the light turn off on you sucks.
Yeah. I do love how all the Fireside Girls are like, Candace, isn't this dangerous enough yet? No.
Gretchen.
Not yet.
That's,
we're there. Winter. Yep.
Who is also very pretty. Just throwing that out there. Yeah. Gretchen doesn't normally. Actually, I think Gretchen is the one that usually gets to talk.
Yeah. Yep.
So, The Grudge. You ever see The Grudge?
I've seen the trailers. I won't watch the film, but I know what it is, yeah.
It's not like the Disney version of The Grudge.
Pretty much, yeah, that's what it is.
Well, it's funny because they call it The Grievance, but the creature that is on the cover and the creature that Kelly resembles, or not Kelly, sorry, Stacy.
Yeah.
Kelly Hugh. Kelly Hugh doesn't look like a creature. She's pretty. The creature that Stacy ends up looking like is more like Samara from The Ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this isn't The Grudge. This is The Ring.
It's a combination of both.
It's a combination Grudge and The Ring.
Yep.
I'm watching The Grudge. I'm watching The Ring. I'm watching combination of The Grudge and The Ring. Yeah, I think I like The Ring better, though.
Yeah, probably.
Your homework assignment, watch The Ring.
No, it won't be.
But like an animated Disney version of The Ring, I think would be funny.
We just saw that just now.
Well, this wasn't the same. I mean, it was much scarier.
Close enough. What this was or that was?
With The Ring. Yeah, The Ring was creepy.
All right. What else you got for Stacy's mom?
Stacy's mom has got it going on. Buford has this thing for stuffing women in the sacks.
Just Isabella.
Found a little disconcerting. He just puts her in that sack like two or three times. And the look on her face when she comes out is just like, I hate you. Put me in the goddamn sack.
Yeah, it's only Isabella he does that to.
Oh, just one person. That makes it okay.
No, it doesn't make it okay, but I'm just saying. He's not going around every other episode that we don't see trying to kidnap girls from sack.
You don't know that.
Well,
he might be off screen while he's, how many of the Fireside Girls have been in a burlesque sack? I don't know.
So the nice thing
about this is we got a song by Isabella.
Yep.
Singing about her need to spend time alone with Phineas.
Yep.
You know, if you find a girl that sings songs about how much she wants to hang out with you, then you should totally marry that girl.
They just have to wait about 10 years.
It's an arranged marriage. Well, your parents got together and lined it all up. There's a dowry involved.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do have all that cattle.
They're 50 goats.
Goat milk and burgers. Here we come.
They got a chupacabra for those goats.
It's a chupacabra hamburger. There you go.
Chupacabra burger. I wouldn't want to eat the chupacabra. I mean, it's like a world where you either like it
or you don't.
Yeah. Any particular animal that could possibly have a fedora stashed away somewhere, you'd be afraid to eat it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'd totally be vegetarian. I'd have to switch.
It's like Larry the Lobster. We sent him to New England, and we never saw him again.
Agent L. New England. Oh,
Mm-hmm. Oh, never mind. speaking of things that would end world hunger.
Yes.
The Bugmeinator. This is literally a device that can turn inanimate objects into bugs, which in certain parts of the world are considered protein and a delicacy.
Not in this part of the world, I can tell you that much.
Not in this part of the world. It's like in Indiana Jones where they eat the scarabs.
Oh, don't bring Temple of Doom up to me. And oh, God.
Shield monkey brains.
Ew. What are you rating this one?
I'm not done.
Yeah, you can't be Steve Megatron.
I can't do it like Steve does it.
I love you.
Shut up, bitch. I'm not done. Well, you know, we got to revisit the whole, you know, Stacy knows that Perry's a secret agent thing.
Hey, I thought that was good.
I thought it was awesome when she got the pamphlet.
And then she's like, wait, it says right here, and I'll throw this audio in here somewhere. But, like, you know, she even explains to him that technically she's the loophole because she's not a part of the host. It's hilarious. Absolutely love that part.
But she still sneaks out, though.
Yeah.
I don't want your stupid pamphlet.
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder how the future episodes will reflect the fact that she notes.
We'll have to wait and see, I guess, because I'm not sure.
I don't know either. I thought maybe you would know.
Dude, I watched the fourth season so intermittently at the time. Well, that's why I said since episode 85 to now, we're kind of both finding this out together on this one, because I was not. By season 4, I blame Disney more than I blame the Phineas and Ferb crew. They were showing the episodes, and it's like, you used to be able to set your watch to cartoons, folks, that you could tune in at a certain time, and the cartoon would be on. That's why I love Disney Plus and being able to just watch it without having to worry about what time it has to come on.
Right. Everything's on demand.
That's right.
Except for Loki, in which case I have to be, like, waiting with bated breath until Wednesday.
Oh, God. You know what?
Mm.
I
don't like that
shit. Don't tell me anything either. I've only seen several things here and there online, but I don't really care about spoilers, but at the same time, don't sit there and try to tell me.
I'm not telling you.
I know you're not, but
I'm not gonna say anything.
What I was going to say was that I have come around to the Disney Plus original new shows doing the, we're going to make you come back every week kind of thing. It got kind of old with WandaVision for me, but that 6-episode arc for Falcon and Winter, I was every Friday, I was ready. Yeah. Midnight Pacific time, I was ready. As soon as 12:01, 12:02, and Disney app said, Falcon and Winter, all new, watch now. And I'm like, perfect. That's the one good thing about living in the Pacific time zone. You can get things at midnight when everybody else has to get them at 3 a.m. on Eastern time. So, Anyway, I'm actually not watching Loki currently. The reason why I'm not watching Loki currently is because I'm going to wait, and I'm going to binge it.
How are you not inundated with spoilers?
Because I choose to ignore them.
I waited a day before we watched it. We watched it Wednesday night, but people were writing reviews Tuesday at midnight. So I was desperately trying not to read anything about it.
See, that's the thing. I don't follow a lot. I follow so many things on Twitter and Facebook that, especially Twitter, I will miss things because Twitter is instantaneous. That's why you'll see me on Twitter sometimes posting the podcasts every couple of days because, in case you didn't hear this, we now have episodes 85 to 86 online for Palka because as of this recording, currently I'm still editing episode 87. It's too hot here in the state of Washington, folks. I can't. We're lucky episode 91 is getting recorded without the noise of my fan behind me because, oh boy. Anyway, so yeah, no, I follow so much crap that I miss half the stuff, and don't even get me started on Facebook. We are all freaking high for Facebook. So Facebook had, so they did an update. They did a couple of updates, and then my buddy Dustin was like, oh yeah, if you scroll up or scroll down and then scroll back up, you can do home, recents, or home, favorites, and recent. Well, apparently within the last, as of this recording, June 24th, 2021, apparently they've now done away with that, because I'm scrolling down and scrolling back up and I can't, I want Facebook recent. I want to be able to look at what you posted 1 minute ago and then what somebody else posted 17 minutes ago. I don't want 2 days ago shit. Like right now, I can look at my buddy Harold posted something 10 hours ago. Okay. A comic artist I follow posted something eight. That means I'm late to the party on everything. Mm. Fucking Mark Zuckerberg. Anyway.
That's all his fault.
Yeah, it's all his fault.
He personally made that decision.
Hey, you know what? It's his damn company. He created it. It's not like I can blame Jesse Eisenberg.
He's out there trying to figure out how to spend $1 jillion. Mm-hmm. He's not worried about that particular Facebook thing.
Yeah, anyway.
The end of the episode.
The end of the episode.
Isabella gets her party, and then at the end, she gets her wish.
And butterflies. You always give me butterflies.
Gave me butterflies. And fist bumps for everybody, because Ferb knows what's up.
That's right. And at the very, very end of the episode, why are you asking me where Perry is? Why should I know where Perry is? I don't know where Perry is. Yeah, I don't know why I asked you where Perry was. That was, outside of some of the songs continuing, that is the single best post-credits thing that Phineas and Ferb has ever done.
Really?
I think, yeah.
I like the songs too, but yeah. Yeah, it was a nice postscript to the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I did have one problem about this, and that was Candace never got to see the grievance.
She's not missing much.
Oh, no, it was a good show.
Yeah, she's not missing much. She watched her best friend become the grievance. So I think she kind of lived it. It's kind of like,
she you lived know, the grievance.
It's kind of like, you know, oh, I just went to this Guar concert. Why would I ever watch them on DVD kind of thing? I was there. I lived it. You know what I mean?
It is different when you're actually there.
Yeah.
There's certain fluids flying through the air.
Yeah, the only way you're going to get that on television, even now in today's technology of television, is if you have smell-o-vision, and it just... Oh,
it doesn't smell good either. No, it's pretty bad.
Oh, it doesn't, yes.
Auschwitz in general.
they don't smell good, yeah, no.
Generally do not smell good, exactly.
You do not want to be mosh-pitting and then leave that stench on you for too long.
Exactly. Anyway, so, I would give this one a 4.
Right there with you. Double fours.
Double fours. And also, if you see the original Japanese version, it's like twice as good as the American version.
Okay.
That was a reference to Ju-on and Ringu. Because if you know.
Ringu? What do the Beatles have to do with this?
And Ringu. Ringu.
Rango. Wait a minute, that's a different company.
Ju-on is this is Ring that
Roku. Rango.
Rangu. Rango. That was Johnny Depp.
Johnny Rango.
Johnny Rango. Johnny Rango. Ringu. Johnny Ringu. He was a chameleon with really long black hair, and he crawled out of a well.
Rico's Roughnecks.
Yeah, so if you've seen The Grudge and you liked it, then you got to track down the Ju-on movie, J-U-O-N, Ju-on, because it's a Japanese version that came first. And if you compare the two, you'll see they're almost identical. When they brought it to America, they were very faithful. And it's the same thing with The Ring. It originated in Japan. It's a movie called Ringu. And shot for shot, almost, except with American actors.
Oh, interesting.
Trying to remember which one had the girl from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I think that was The Grudge.
Yes, it was. I can already tell you it was.
Yeah.
Without even thinking about it, I remember Sarah Michelle Gellar. Because, again, I remember the trailers.
That's her name. Yeah, yep. I forgot her name.
So when you said watch the Japanese version,
yeah,
I'm like, why would I watch the Japanese version of this episode of Phineas and Ferb? Is there even a Japanese? I assume there is.
The superior
came out
of Japan first.
I thought you were
directed by Japanese guys, and then
you were talking about the Japanese version of Happy Birthday, Isabella, not the ringing in the garage.
No, that's what I was going for. I was going for a Japanese version of Sigh. Yeah.
Japanese version of Great Balls of Water. Yes, folks. Last up today. No, second to last up today. Wait, we have second to last. Wait, what?
You said last up, but I was like,
Yeah. I scrolled and then I fixed it.
All right.
The penultimate cartoon.
Penultimate.
Of today is Great Balls of Water.
Hello, Agent P. It's me, Director Diphthong, from accounting. Dr. Doofenshmirtz has been buying an exorbitant amount of negative ion generators and negative power cable, and I'm positive that it can't be good. Yeah. So go find out what Doofenshmirtz is up to and put a stop to it. Descending Diphthong.
What are you doing?
It's my signature sign-off. What do you think? Descending Diphthong.
I'd stick with accounting.
When Candace thinks Jeremy is bored with their usual hangouts, she sets out to find something unique to do with him. Meanwhile, Phineas and Ferb power through town surfing on a giant ball of water, and Doofenshmirtz plans to use his double negative innator to confuse his local eatery into giving him a wintry drink that is usually not served during summer. Oh, boy.
That makes just no sense.
Well, it's funny. I don't know. I'm sure you may have seen an episode or two, but have you ever watched Person of Interest?
It sounds familiar. Is that the one with the guy?
Person of Interest was a CBS show, ran for 6 seasons. It stars Jim Caviezel and Michael Emerson. Michael Emerson played Finch, Harold Finch, and basically...
He was the math guy.
No. He created the machine, which ended up turning into Amy Acker, which is awesome because Amy Acker is awesome. But anyway, but basically he's the guy that creates the machine and this, that, and anything else. Well, in one of the episodes where he's trying to find his, this girl that he loves, he apparently in the winter always goes out to this one New York cart somewhere in the park, and he gets one vanilla ice cream cone every January. So... Okay. Ice cream cone, kind of like a summer thing.
Yeah, good luck finding ice cream in
mint
January.
Wink or whatever this winter mint chocolate thing. So I kind of get it. He wants a winter drink in the summer. I kind of get it.
Yeah. Minty wink.
Yeah, whatever it is. I like this one. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. I think it's interesting. I love that, Doof is just doing this... this double negative innator. It's not a fun episode.
Well, it's kind of like, get what you want free card. I want this thing, and they're like, you can't have this thing. But then they get zapped, and they're like, you can't have this thing. And then you take it. It just seems odd. But it plays like a minor part in the overall course of the show. It seems like a lot to go through just to get this eggnog that he wants. I mean, I thought that he could just send Plankton over to steal the recipe for the Minty Wink eggnog.
We're sorry, we don't cross over with that slime company.
You were just singing the song the other day, too.
What, Depth Charge Fish Pants? That's completely different.
Depth Charge Fish Pants. Depth Charge Fish Pants. It's the same genre.
Sort of. Not really.
This is Megatron, leader of the Predacons. And I'm going to ask you one question, children. who lives in a colony under the sea. Depp Charge Fish Pants. Who wants to kill my pitch for you and for me? Depp Charge Fish Pants. Whose mantavery goodness is misunderstood? Depp Charge Fish Pants. Who sounds like Batman and Clint Eastwood? Depp Charge Fish Pants. Depp Charge Fish Pants. Depp Charge Fish Pants. Depp Charge Fish Pants. Excellent. Yes.
But the idea there is that, you know, if he had the recipe, he could make it whenever he wants.
Yep.
Actually, that might not be entirely true. If it's like a big chain, then they probably just ship them like buckets of that stuff, and they just put it in the Frosty machine.
You know, it's funny, they buck the trend in this one too, and I really don't mind it because this episode is so good. No, yeah. Too young line, no Ferb line, no what you doing, no oh there you are Perry.
Yeah.
Finally, the evil jingle is back.
Nice. I didn't hear it.
I mean, it's just the regular evil jingle. The
regular one? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm still stuck on that whole recipe thing. I mean, have you ever watched the Tipsy Bartender?
No.
Oh, okay. So this guy's hilarious. He's always making different drinks with different types of ingredients. But then lately he's been doing like food and stuff and like regular drinks and like shakes. You know, it's like, wow, it looks like the most delicious shake ever. And I was thinking, you know, if he could probably find the recipe for Minty Winks in the Tipsy Bartender. Just Google it.
So that's what they're going for.
What? What are you reading now?
I'm reading the wiki. The Minty Mink or the Minty Wink or whatever, but it's basically the Shamrock Shake from McDonald's.
Yeah, it only shows up so many times per year. Oh my God, it is. He made it. Junior Mint Shots, Tipsy Bartender.
Wow.
That's funny. Junior Mints. He makes them out of Junior Mints instead of, yeah. Anyway. Moving right along. Baljeet is never happier than when he is defying the laws of physics. He's so pleased with himself. Also, you know, Buford isn't there to torment him.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Buford is off forming a bond with his fish.
Hey, you know what?
The goldfish.
Buford has to have some sort of good thing happen in his life, and if Biff is it, that's great.
I don't know. We should have put Biff to Fluffy the Piranha.
No.
Fluffy the Piranha. That is awesome. No. I forgot the guy's name. Which evil pharmacist was he that had the piranha? It was like a dog show for fish. Yep. And yeah, so it's like the Westminster Fish Show.
Okay, today's the big day of the Danville Fish Show. Are you nervous? Don't worry about it. It's normal. Just remember, today is your day to shine. So we're going to be scared?
No, Buffy!
Are we going to be tough?
Yes, Buffy!
So let's see what you got. Just like we practiced, jump through the hoop. You can do it, buddy. Jump through the hoop. Victory!
Yeah, no.
I think his name's Rodney. I forget. Anyway. Anyway, I really like the Candace song.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, Candace is surrounded by things that she could do with Jeremy, and then she gets a song that's, well, it sounds strangely like the title sequence, right?
Yeah.
Like, Mom, Candace is writing a title sequence. And if she wasn't trying to bust her brothers every day, she could probably have her own show about doing all this stuff over the summer.
Yes, she could.
It would never pass the Bechdel test, though.
No, probably not.
Basically, she's doing all this stuff so that she could get closer to the boyfriend, as opposed to trying to better herself. It'd be nice just to have an episode where just her and Stacy talk about stuff other than men.
They tried to do that already, remember?
It failed miserably. Because he ended up posing as a table.
Yeah. See, it doesn't work. So
they came close, though.
Yeah, they came close.
Yeah.
And hey, Stacy was in on it the whole time. She goes, the best part was when you used him as a table. Exactly. It's like Stacy didn't already know.
She was well aware. She's no dummy.
Yeah, no. She's no dummy.
Ugh.
Great Balls of Water. I really dug it. 4.5.
It was good. Oh, 4.5?
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, wait a minute. You got to clarify here.
Why?
It gets a 5, as is required when there's a Vanessa cameo.
Yeah, but she didn't come in till the very end. She only had one line.
You didn't actually see her. You just heard her.
Yeah, see, you just heard. Okay. And there have been other episodes where I'm like, oh, well, there's Vanessa singing, or there's Olivia singing as Vanessa, but you don't actually see her, and you're like, oh, no, that's not a 5.
Sometimes the episode is just so bad that you can't give it a 5 based upon the cameo. But you've got a Norm cameo.
In this?
Yeah, he was there.
Where did he show up?
He showed up, criminy, at the first... he's in it. He pops in for like a second. You barely notice it. And yeah, so I mean, I would have given it a 4, maybe a 4.5, but you know, we have certain rules in place for these things.
Yes, well, oh, okay, now I can give it a 5.
What happened?
I forgot about the most
Vanessa?
No, I forgot about the coolest.
The Loop Street?
Nope, I forgot about the coolest thing in this one. I'm going to actually insert the audio here.
Descending diphthong.
The guy that they had replace Major Monogram as
I was actually thinking I could have done without Director Diphthong. I'm not sure what a diphthong is. I was afraid to Google it because who knows what would come out.
Diphthong.
A sound formed by the combination of two vowels in a single syllable, in which the sound begins as one vowel and moves toward another, as in coin, loud, and side.
Whatever.
I don't know. Wait a
minute. I don't get it either, but I just like the voice, that's all. I just like the way he said it and the fact that he kind of disappeared off screen. I thought that was funny.
He does that weird thing where it looks like he's descending a staircase behind the couch.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, the thing he did made him look like he was actually going down a toilet.
Well, yeah, true. Just
rotating around the bowl like a turd in the wind.
Descending diphthong. He sinks down from the screen. What are you doing? Going back up, it's my signature sign-off. What do you think? Descending diphthong. He sinks down from the screen again. I'd stick with accounting.
Yeah. Go back to accounting.
You suck, diphthong. Back to accounting. Yeah. So it does get a 5. There you go.
There we go. You 5s all around.
Follow Buford. Hey, you guys. You in here?
I think Buford found him.
Really? A doggy door in a municipal building that does not allow dogs?
And finally, we have to ask that age-old question, where's Pinky the platypus?
Pinky the chihuahua.
Yeah, Pinky the chihuahua. Curse you, Pinky the chihuahua.
The chihuahua.
That's one thing that's missing from this is Esmeralda Poofenplots. Yes. I got her first name, and then you came in with the last. I'm like, oh, that's what it is. Poofenplots.
Poofenplots.
Poofenplots and Doofenshmirtz. She's a little old.
It's a fun name.
Yeah. Poofenplots and Doofenshmirtz. She's a little old for him, but their names would go great together in a team-up. Anyway. Poofenschmirtz. Poofenschmirtz. It's kind of messy. you don't want a Poofenschmirtz. That's kind of messy. No. All right, when Pinky goes missing to assist Perry's mission to stop Doofenshmirtz's plan, Phineas and Ferb create a machine that will amplify Buford's senses to those of a dog's. However, it works so well that the animal agent's secret identities are put in jeopardy. Meanwhile, Candace tries to meet up with Jeremy for lunch at City Hall, but gets stuck in a mandatory tour directed by none other than Let's Make a Deal's Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady.
Yep.
I honestly thought that this was Phil Lewis.
Nope. You thought it was Mr. Mosby? Oh, no.
I thought it was Mosby from The Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
Yeah, no. Oh, no. I kind of wish it was, but yeah. I still love Wayne Brady.
Well, I like Wayne Brady.
Yeah, I like them both. But, I mean, now that you mention that, I think Mr. Mosby would be slightly funnier. But,
well, he did make a cameo as a hotel manager, which was funny because he was a hotel manager. Yep. But
that's the point.
Right. But when I heard the voice, I was like, this sounds really familiar. Is that the guy? But, yeah, I like Wayne Brady, too. He's funny.
Yeah, he is. Yep, yep, yep. No, this one was fun. It's like, Pinky's good with computers. Okay, I expect Pinky as a dog to jump up on his hind legs and start using his front paws to type on the computer. No, he just picks it up and whops Doof in the head and destroys the computer.
He's good with it. I liked the bi-monthly zombie apocalypse preparedness lecture.
I didn't. I could do without it. Zombies don't exist.
You don't like zombies either.
I'm not a horror fan. I'm not a zombie fan. I kind of can deal with certain vampires as long as they are played by David Boreanaz. But other than that,
yeah.
Hey, you leave Angel alone, damn it.
That's a Buffy.
No.
That girl, I couldn't remember her name.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That's her. Yeah.
Yes.
Again, I forgot her name from 5 minutes ago.
I know, right?
But you don't like Creepshow. You don't like The Grudge. You don't like The Ring. You don't like zombie movies.
It's not anything specifically about. It's about the overall genre. I have a healthy respect for it, and I love that my friends, including you, enjoy it. It's just not. It's like the other day on Twitter, where I did this whole thread, and this was a couple months ago by the time people hear this, but I did this whole thread of why I am the geek that I am. And I listed a bunch of stuff that I like, and I listed a bunch of things that I enjoyed. And somebody mentioned the Dungeons & Dragons animated series from the 80s, and I'm like,
oh, that was a good show.
Yeah, no, never saw it, so have no, and I've never been a D&D guy. Never, ever have I been a D&D person. I never got into that whole thing. So
I think
it's
that
like,
show made me a D&D guy.
Well, hey, that's great. And again, my whole thing is that we are each individuals. We each have our own likes and dislikes. As long as we can come together for the most part on what we like and enjoy and talk about it like Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah.
You look at the last 91 years of this podcast. We've severely diverged on some of these roads. And you've even said, I just can't go down this road with you. But at the same time, we're still friends. Like, there's nothing in this show that's going to ruin our friendship kind of thing. And there are just some people out there who are like, what? You've never seen that? You don't know about that? It came out in 83 and lasted till 85.
Yeah.
Between 83 and 85, I was dealing with He-Man, Thundercats, Transformers, Mask, She-Ra, Alf started in 80s, like Knight Rider. Like, I had so much as a kid as far as entertainment. The fact that I missed one show about a card game or whatever.
Saturday morning cartoons, though. I mean, this wasn't like Knight Rider. This was, you know, if you were awake on a Saturday morning, you had to have seen it.
I was usually asleep on a Saturday morning because I would wake up at 5 a.m. on weekdays to go to school by 7 o'clock, and between 6 and 7, I could watch Thundercats and He-Man, and because it used to be syndication. 5 days a week, you could watch shows either before or after school. Forget that Saturday morning stuff, at least in the early 80s, and then after that, Saturday morning became a thing and all that. Well, anyway.
As it turns out, not to stick with the subject, the dead horse subject, but this episode had another horror movie reference that you'd probably never heard of.
Nope.
There's there's actually two. There was one from Chud. There was a movie called Chud. And CHUD stood for Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dweller. So you can imagine what it was about. As Doofenshmirtz was going down to the basement, he passes over a button that says Pessimistic Humanoid Underground Dweller.
Yeah.
And I'm like, pessimistic? Well, you can't call him cannibalistic, you know, on a kid's show. No. I just thought that was funny when you moved the mouse down. It's there's a movie about that, CHUD. There was a Bud the CHUD. If you've never seen it, you wouldn't get that reference. And then the second one was Predator. You've seen Predator.
Long time ago. Don't remember anything about it other than the fact that Arnold's in it.
The Predator turns invisible, basically. And you know, the blend into the background of Nader is kind of like a chameleon helmet. You know, he puts it on and you blend into the background. Or rather, the light bends around you so that people can't see you. And it was kind of like Predator. Or, if you prefer, like a Harry Potter visibility cloak.
I don't know why you keep bringing up all the stuff that I just have never watched. Like, I mean...
Let's go back to the Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
No.
You like that one, right? That's one you liked.
Yeah, there you go. Here's the thing, though. There's another thing in here that the password to override the security door, Reindeer Flotilla, is actually Kevin Flynn's password in the 1982 film Tron.
Oh, now, there's one you saw.
I saw it a decade ago when the sequel was about to come out. Again, 1982, folks, I was 2 years old. In the 80s, I watched so many movies, I do not ever remember seeing Tron. I had no, like, I knew Tron existed. I knew it was a movie. I knew it was cool. But up until Tron Legacy was coming out in 2011, which, oh my God, was a decade ago.
Yeah.
Oh,
and God. Black Hole. Black Hole's another one of those old sci-fi movies you probably miss. I think I saw Tron in the theater.
Wow.
I didn't see a lot of movies.
Well, you were 9 years old at that point, so you probably did.
Aside from like Star Wars movies, and I distinctly remember my dad taking me to see Gremlins. And E.T. I saw E.T. in a theater. Not too many. Yeah, I mean, anyway. So yeah, I like this one. It wasn't like as fabulous as the other one. I can't get my head around Agent Binky because he's a Chihuahua and he's always shivering. Not a fan.
Yeah. For the most part. It's okay. So yeah, Pinky doesn't do much, but I like what he does do. And I like the fact that we actually have an episode about him and about basically Phineas having to save Isabella's dog or find Isabella's dog for her.
Yeah,
I thought that was really cool, and I thought that was good. Again, going with the trend of the end of this episode of the podcast between the middle of the show and the end of the show, Happy Birthday, Isabella, and this, again, it's things that are, you know, trying to get them together kind of thing. And I like the doof plot. I think it's silly as all hell, but it was fun. It was
bureaucracy.
Yeah, it was really fun. And I love how Wayne Brady just stops being all chipper and cheer. Oh, you can't bring a dog in here. Like, I think that was great. So, yeah. Anything else from you for this one before we rate them?
Yeah. You know, you had mentioned that Wayne Brady actually sings.
Oh, yeah.
He sings well. I mean, it wasn't a good song. It was all mumbo jumbo, but he pulled it off. I mean, I thought he nailed it.
Yeah, he is a good singer. If you watch Whose Line, or sometimes he sings on Let's Make a Deal, but there are certain episodes of the U.S. version of Whose Line Is It Anyway with Drew Carey and Ryan Stiles and Colin Mochrie and Greg Proops, and Wayne Brady is also on there as well. He's a damn good singer. I love Wayne Brady, man.
Yeah.
That's why this episode's probably going to get a 5 now. Because
of Wayne Brady. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Between Doof and Wayne Brady, oh, yeah.
I could not give it a 5. I gave it a 3 for Alco representation.
There you go. Well, I mean, 3 is still a good rating. It's not like it's a 2.5 or a 2 or a 1.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah, no, you didn't hate it.
Dislike
it. So, yeah. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick ad break, come back to close the show after this.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba weep grana, weep ninny bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toy Box Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
This is Starscream, the true leader of Cybertron, and consequently, all things Transformers.
Get it? That's the name of the show.
Hi, this is Dan Gilvezan, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
12 years in the making, after 6 top 100 countdowns, the Geekcast Radio Network, along with 33 participants, are launching our top 100 Transformers characters countdown, August 8th, 2021, 35 years after Transformers the movie was released. Don't be the only con left out of this one, folks. Because, really, whether you're a Predacon or a Decepticon, you want to be at the top. Right, Megatron?
Yes.
Tune in to Geekcast Radio Network's Top 100 Transformers Characters Countdown from August 8th through September 17th, 2021. 6 parts, 6 Constructicons. Learn who will fall and where they will fall, because one always falls. Transform and transcend here with us on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Why nobody love Waspinator?
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here on Palka. Thank you for joining us. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. You can also listen to all of our content that we've produced over the last 13 years, however the hell long it's been. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, please leave us reviews. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TF2 and Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for the other network updates. What is your Twitter, sir?
PeconCT Michael.
I'm a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka. I wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next episode of Phineas and Ferb Season 4, which is Mission Marvel. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Ah, look at them out there. What are they up to? Ah, looks like Phineas is saying, where's Perry? Huh, where do you think Perry goes every day, Stace?
How do I know? Why are you asking me? How should I know? Don't look at me.
I don't know why I was asking you.
Whew. No one suspects a thing.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, yes it is.
Yes it is.
Ugh. Oh, man, once again, the place is trash. You just take off, leaving me here to clean it all up. Does it ever occur to you, Perry the Platypus, how much of a mess is left after one of our little tete-a-tetes? I bet you it never even occurred to you that I keep talking to you for a while after you're gone. I mean, it's probably a sad commentary on my life that I'm wearing an apron and talking to a platypus that's no longer... How long have you been standing there, Vanessa?
Long enough, Dad.